where we have services that we can use.
Oh, yeah.
Where there is some humanity amongst us.
Yeah.
Right? And if those are pieces that are in a danger zone, we need to start becoming aware of those.
Oh, absolutely.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Available anywhere, anytime, on the internet, in your browser at WFPR.FM, and in the Franklin Mass FM radio band, on the dial, or the knobs, or the buttons. You can push button and set it up. 102.9 is the number. Here in our glorious studio again today with Michael Walker Jones. Michael, thank you for doing this.
Steve, I don't think I've heard your intro before. That's absolutely
really?
Wonderful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got to remember that because people are always asking me. Yes, this is Michael Walker Jones. I'm the gentleman you hear from time to time on Towards a More Perfect Union, one of the co-hosts for that program. And I'm glad to be here, Steve. This is fun.
This is going to be fun because I know you were spending a lot of time out of Franklin and doing the More Perfect Union in between, and I've wanted to get together for a while, and finally it's happening, so hey!
Well, thank you for the kind words and the wonderful persistence of trying to put us together here.
Eventually, we were going to do it. It was just a matter of the schedules, the stars aligning.
Yes,
you know?
So and they have aligned.
They have aligned.
They have aligned.
So for the people who maybe don't know you, just we'll get into a little bit of, you know, your Franklin story, how you ended up here, and then we're just going to go from there.
All right. Well, my wife and I, bless her heart, rest her soul. She passed away about 5 years ago now. But we came here in 1992 with our two children, who were 2 and 3 at the time.
Yep, youngsters.
And we moved here from Arkansas, where she was a teacher. I was working for the Arkansas Education Association. I came here for work. I became one of the managers of the Mass Teachers Association. We did our due diligence. We came to Franklin based upon a lot of research, and we have loved it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids have gone to school here from kindergarten to 12th grade. They both graduated. They both went off to college, came back, and they both now live here. And I've stayed in my house. However, even though I've lived in the same house for the last 30-plus years, I've had an opportunity to work not only with the Mass Teachers Association, but I've also worked in Louisiana. I've worked in Rhode Island, and I've worked in Alabama.
Near and far.
I've worked for the Teachers Union. I've worked in higher ed. I've been a professor. I went to law school, albeit I am not a practicing attorney. I have some terminal degrees from the University of Rochester. So I've been up in the New England area, I'd say a clear majority of my life. But Franklin has been my passion. I love this town and was introduced to public radio and television through our dear friend Frank Falvey, who picked up on some things that he asked me about when I was working for the first, one of the overrides. I worked with the campaign committee and was the campaign manager. We lost.
So that was one of the many.
We lost.
We only passed one in 2007, so it was 2008 or 10.
No, it was before then.
Before, okay.
Yeah.
And, there were quite a few. There was one ballot, I think, that had 6 or 7 questions on it, and all of them went down.
Yeah. And I must admit that it has been disappointing, both as a citizen and a parent, to watch many of our overrides, most of them geared toward trying to support our schools. But at the same time, too, I've been very pleased that our schools are still, here in Franklin, one of the best systems in the state of Massachusetts.
Right.
So now, With that comes my work with the radio and television station, which has been prompted by, I guess, my eagerness to be an activist. I've been part of the Franklin Democratic Town Committee, since about 1996, mm-hmm. when we...
Right after you got here.
Yeah, not too long right after
we got here. Got your feet wet and figured out this is where I need to go.
Well, I've always been an activist, either with the NAACP or with the Democratic Party or with other causes mm-hmm. and whatnot. So,
right.
So that's my passion. And having been an educator, I worked at Curry College for a while as an adjunct professor. I've done a lot of work and writing around the idea of citizens' rights and the idea that we need to stay not only involved but informed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always in a teaching mode. I never try to criticize someone who may not have knowledge or have limited knowledge
right.
about things,
right.
but I try to
yeah.
get people to,
yeah.
you know, so I'm always giving people books or other
mm-hmm.
kinds of things
right.
and stuff. So that's
right.
me.
That's you.
Basically
and that's,
where I come from.
That's one of our multiple connections. So, yeah, when we came here in 95, I was going to be working in Boston, relocating from Jersey, so
mm-hmm.
I did my due diligence, and we needed the train station. So this was one of several
yeah.
that we viewed. And ultimately ended up here, and we've been here ever since. Daughters went through the high school system. They're out and around. One's local, so the grandkids are here.
Yeah.
The other one's in Worcester, so she's not far away.
Yeah.
And at one
Very
point
similar.
In time, coming out of college, I was going to be the world's greatest English teacher. I spent 6 years coaching and subbing and couldn't really get in the door permanent. And then I met the woman who's going to be my wife, so I slipped away. Went corporate and was indirectly teaching.
Okay.
And still teaching now, sharing, which is what I'm doing here with Franklin.
Absolutely.
And Franklin Matters. So
we're
in that space.
Yes,
I'm a
we
little
are.
Less of an activist that in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to be as forward in terms of activism, but the even some of my LinkedIn profiles still say, you know, customer service advocate.
Right.
And town services, I need to be an advocate for those because that's important.
Yes.
Right? There's a
yes.
breadth of our services. We've got a fairly diverse community.
We do.
Aging and the youth are our future, so we need to be careful of that. And, oh, by the way, let's not forget the middle.
Yeah.
Because even on the housing side, there's this term about the missing middle, and we don't have the missing middle here in Franklin because 80% of our housing stock is single-family homes.
That's right.
And that's another topic right. for another day. But
yeah, I was going to say that's changing, and there's some resistance as well as
resistance.
Some,
oh, yeah. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and thereby there's
yes.
an education opportunity.
That's right.
You know, to bring people along because you hear zoning and zoning bylaws and people start glassing over, you know. And the simple thing is, you know, when I was at the Harvest Festival out in front of Dean across from the library, looking down to my left towards, you know, Pacini's shoe store, the other, you know, FSPA.
Yeah.
And heaven forbid if one of those buildings went up. Disappear.
Yeah, just disappear.
The zoning we have would not allow that building to be reconstructed
yeah.
as it is, which we all know and love.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is a problem.
Well, listen, as a matter of fact, since you have sort of opened the door for that topic, there was a period of activism where I really got frustrated here in Franklin
mm-hmm.
around our zoning laws and around the idea that those who are trying to manipulate our building environment
yeah.
as well as our historical environment. And let me give you the two examples that sort of brought out my ire, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the downtown movie theater.
Oh, yes.
I think the name, was it the Zeotrope?
Zeotrope, indeed.
Spent and
many times there.
And there was this movement that, well, we're going to knock down that whole block. And we're going to build now this
right.
wonderful
mm-hmm.
new commercial mixed housing complex
mixed,
there, right?
Yep, mixed use building.
Yeah. Yep. And so the
two
what
of the,
happened? Yeah, go yeah, ahead.
Two of the three pieces actually got built. The third piece to replace that front building never got
never
done.
Happened.
Never got done.
But the first building that was knocked down,
mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me it was overly zealous and very quick, was mm-hmm. the Zoetrope.
Well,
come to find out that the Zoetrope was a historic building.
Right.
It was a, they made it into two theaters.
Yeah, they split it.
And what happened was that it was a large screen theater back in the style of the old large screen theaters.
Sure.
And they basically built a wall down the middle
yep,
and made
yep.
it two screens.
Sure.
Well, come to find out that, again, this was a wonderful, significant historical building, and the significance of the way that it was built,
mm-hmm.
it should have stood.
Yeah.
So when they knocked it down, saying that they were going to take the whole block out, that's the only building they knocked down. And now if you see that little park that's there.
That little corner.
That triangle, little corner.
Little triangle.
Okay.
Yep.
And then we had the other theater, which was the Regal Theater, which was over in the, is that Ben Franklin? Because the names escape me.
Oh, the bank?
Where, yes, over where the bank is,
mm-hmm.
but it was back in the corner.
Okay.
They took that out, and then they built the theater over in Bellingham.
Right.
Okay.
Sure, the big multiplex.
So we could have had and should have had the multiplex if we were going to lose the Zoetrope, but mm-hmm. we lost that.
Right.
And so I was one of the advocates for keeping the Zoetrope. Again, we lost that mm-hmm. one. And the other building that I think we lost, again, in terms of my own activism and desire to keep some history here in Franklin, was the field house at the high school.
At the high school, yes. Yeah.
And again, I've heard all kind of wonderful stories about, oh, mm-hmm. we had to get rid of it because of mm-hmm. Either funding coming in or whatever it was.
Right.
But again, that was a regional draw
mm-hmm.
because it was the only indoor track.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, I don't think there is an indoor track now outside of Boston.
Outside
of Boston.
At
the Reggie Lewis Center.
I'm not aware of one outside. And just on that. That was, I grew up in Pawtucket, Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
taught there.
Yes.
And coached a team that came to the field house because
yes.
there was a meet that we needed to bring the kids to.
It was the only one in the region.
It was.
And we used to charge for that.
Of course.
I don't know if you knew that there was revenue generated.
I've heard
that.
Over time, since it was before my time generally, but yeah, it was revenue from lots of meets.
Yes.
There were some shows
yes.
there, you know, akin to whether it was a craft show, whatever, business forums. I mean, it was a major open space
yeah.
that generated revenue for some significant events over
and
time.
And it kept Franklin on the map because if you ask any student or parent, do you know Franklin? Oh, yeah, I used to take my kid over
mm-hmm.
there for the indoor mm-hmm. meets. And it's a you know, nice mm-hmm. facility over there.
Well, and the other short story, too. The kids at the high school where I went, St. Ray's, would go to this place called Klein Innsbrook, and I thought it was up way up
oh,
New
yeah.
Hampshire.
Oh, the ski
and
skier.
Then when I came yeah. here, it's on Washington Street. That's this. I mean, it was just past Diamond Hill. Who
yeah.
knew?
Yeah, I know. Who knew? It's a housing development now, but,
it's,
you know.
It's no longer a ski place.
But, yes, and I took my girls over there, as a matter of fact, when they were very young for
mm-hmm.
ski lessons and took
right.
them over there for fun. And it was, yeah, so I think we've lost a little bit of history, but I'm still in love with and have this desire to keep Franklin, I think. Basically, for me, my love for Franklin is I think we have one of the best communities, a diverse community, but there's still always room for improvement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Always,
absolutely.
Always room yeah. for improvement.
So on that note, before we segue into our other place, at a recent town council meeting, Historical Commission made two presentations,
mm-hmm.
one on the Historical Museum and their vision for Museum 2.0.
Yes.
Right? We'd have the nice museum. It's got all this history and artifacts, et cetera. The second piece was a presentation on a historical district process.
Yes.
Because we have two districts on the National Register, one around Dean, one around the Town Common, but they really don't enforce anything in terms of maintaining some of those historical properties.
Yes.
The historical district, should we continue to go that road, would enable maintenance of some of those historic buildings to the historic nature, mm-hmm. akin to the deed restriction that is now at the South Meeting House, which Habitat for Humanity is now taken to build into a 3 or 4 room apartment building for a family who just won it by lottery, and that's all a good thing.
Right.
But the structure is going to be maintained integrity exterior as if it was still the South Meeting House.
Yes.
Right? With the deed restrictions, et cetera. That kind of concept on a bigger scale at a site to be determined
right.
here in Franklin would help us enable to protect other things.
Yes.
So that's a future discussion. The potential is there. But the good point is, if we truly do want to, that would be an option to do so.
Absolutely. And, you know, and again, that's, I think, one of the pieces that we as Americans miss, and this sort of will help us to segue into the aspect of Franklin, not just as an isolated community.
We are not isolated by any means.
In Massachusetts. That's right. We are not. But as part of the state, as part of the state history, and also part of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important for us, I think, as citizens, to always be aware of all of those aspects. Mm-hmm. And I think we lose sight sometimes of the fact that as a country, we're less than 350 years old.
Yep.
As a federation, okay, we're only, what, 200?
We're coming up on 250.
250?
Mm-hmm.
And I recall when I lived in Europe, I was a professor with Boston University back in my early youth.
Mm-hmm.
And to let your listeners and hopefully some of my crossover listeners from a more perfect union, I am not a young guy, but at the same time, I feel young. But back in the 70s, when I was a professor with the with Boston University, I lived in Europe, and it's wonderful when you're sitting here having a cup of coffee and looking at an old church, and people are talking about, oh, yeah, back in, let's see, it was 1200.
Right. Talk about history.
Yeah.
Capital
right.
history.
Yeah. You know, and you're going into a room where they keep wine. This was the a place in Heidelberg. And they go, oh, yeah, well, that's one of the casts that was made in, oh, let me see, I think they did that one in 14-something or other, you know. But we lose a sense of the fact that we are only a blip in the world order.
Right.
And that in that blip, we're still an experiment.
Yes.
We call ourselves the richest country on the face of the earth. You know, there may be some Romans
and some people depends upon how you calculate richness.
Richness. This is true.
Right.
Okay. People from Britain and some of the Egyptians who may question, well, I don't know if you guys really,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the same time, I think we are one of the more modern, I think, advanced experiments in a republic. And I think that, again, with regard to education, we've got to be careful because we keep calling ourselves a democracy, and we are, but we're a democratic republic.
Yes.
And I think now is a time when we have to educate and understand what that means for us as citizens.
Correct.
Which is part of what we try to do with Towards a More Perfect Union.
Right.
Because we're evolving.
We are, right.
And we may be into a period now of a misstep, but it's still possible for us to continue to evolve. We're not ending, But man, are we into some, I think, real emergencies.
Or danger zones.
In danger zones, mm-hmm. Yes. I think I like that a little better and stuff.
Yeah,
than
so that's where
we are in a
I
danger
think
zone.
This is an intersection and kind of going to set us up for the road going forward. So more perfect toward a more perfect union. Clearly, you've been focused on kind of the national level and then getting into the states from time to time.
Correct.
I see the state, at least on some of the national issues, if you will, providing us, because we're Massachusetts, some level of difference or protection mm-hmm. on some key topics.
Mm-hmm.
Insulating Franklin, to a certain extent, from some of those. And yet, because we're dangerous times, it potentially is coming.
Right.
And if Franklin matters, then we need to start thinking about it, because all the other conversations I've had, especially just highlighting with you, you lived here, but you were working in multiple different states, if not were working internationally.
Right.
Many other people are not necessarily working here in Franklin. They're living here in Franklin. They're
yes.
based here in Franklin.
Yes.
But they're working elsewhere, working for national companies, international companies,
yes.
traveling a lot. And then when they come home, it's nice to come home to a place that's a welcoming community.
Yeah.
Where we have services that we can use.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's some humanity amongst us.
Yeah.
Right? And if those are pieces that are in a danger zone, we need to start becoming aware of those.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I got to tell you, that's one of the sort of motivating factors for me that keeps me fresh in terms of my activism.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give you a more recent example, Steve. The idea that we live in a society that's based on merit and merit alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living proof that that's not 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what I mean by that is having had to struggle through racism,
mm-hmm.
watching misogyny and trying to call out the inequities as well as the atrocities
mm-hmm.
when I see people who are unkindly dealt with by authorities,
mm-hmm.
by the courts or the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's important then for me to not only speak up and speak out, but to try to organize and educate others to be aware of, hey, we don't need this in our community.
No.
Okay.
No.
And you have to have the courage of both putting your voice out there as well as your body.
Mm-hmm.
This was taught to me by my great-grandmother back in Louisville, Kentucky, where I was raised. When, as a black family, poor black family, and I want to touch on this in just a second, a poor black family who had to rely upon food from the federal government in order for us to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The early version of what we call kind of the SNAP benefits today.
The SNAP benefits. We didn't go to grocery stores back in those days, and there may be some of our audience out there who can relate to this. We had to go to the U.S. Department of Agriculture warehouses
mm-hmm.
in order to get our boxes of food and foodstuffs. Okay, mm-hmm. But I'll come back to that. So it's important for us to realize right now that we as a country have an obligation to our fellow citizens
mm-hmm.
because they are our fellow citizens.
Agreed.
Okay.
Right.
They are our fellow man and woman.
Right.
These are fellow families, okay, that mm-hmm. we ought to feel some compassion for.
Sure.
And if we're not doing enough, then it's people like me who call it out and say, listen, there's still more we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Agreed.
We don't need to have people on the street. And that's what Towards a More Perfect Union is about, trying to find those who are in authority or those who research, and because I'm academically oriented, those who are politicians. That's why one of my co-hosts, Jeff Roy has been with us from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Frank Falvey was there when we first started.
Sure.
Peter Jay, the station manager and executive director here has been a part. We've had other politicians and other activists and stuff who have been with us. So for me, it's important to sort of start to do more of dovetailing with people who are locally oriented. For example, our town council, our town manager, as well as all of our town activists from the Historical Society, our wonderful new Children's Museum, I think, which is also going to become a wonderful kind of attraction for Franklin. The idea that we think, or that I think, we have some of the best eclectic restaurants in the entire region. We've got wonderful from the Rome over to, well, they just left, but my friends over at Hang Thai, so sorry to see them leave new, Franklin.
There's a new Asian fusion coming into that spot. I haven't seen, I've seen the sign. They were still working on the building, but I don't know exactly when, but it seems to be they're coming soon.
and we have Thai restaurants. We have Indian restaurants. Yep. We have, I think, again, one of the best set of diverse restaurants again in the region. I wish we had a theater to go along with it, but hey, you know, Bellingham.
We may eventually. Who knows?
But we have the Black Box. Okay, so that means we have some
Black
local
Box
talent
and Dean College
and Dean.
And, never mind the high school and Circle of Friends. So there are cultural institutions with some performances that are just outstanding on a regular basis.
And there is something for me that says there are national as well as state implications for the existence of this community.
Right.
And I think our collaboration here, this beginning, this little humble beginning here, in terms of pointing that out to folks, will help to do what you and I think, love, which is to educate as well as keep people informed.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to future conversations and for us to be able to move some of our guests from towards a more perfect union. We've had nationally recognized authors. I want to get more.
Mm-hmm.
We've had national politicians on. I want to get more.
Sure.
We've had some folks who are activists in their own right. We've had people from Harvard and whatnot to come in our program. And I think we're on, are we on YouTube? Is that where you can go find some of the older programs?
More Perfect Union, if they're videoed, yes. And I believe the audio for the radio, at least my radio shows, optionally go to YouTube as well. I don't know offhand if More Perfect Union, but if it isn't, it can be done.
Yeah.
So
we have, and for those of you who may not know, More Perfect Union, we have about, I think we have maybe 30, somewhere between 25 to 30 programs that originally we originated as podcast.
Correct.
So Towards a More Perfect Union is not new. What is new is the sort of joining of both the audio and the video. We now do both the television broadcast as well as the podcast. But you can find
kinda,
both if you're out there
keeping
looking
up with the overall times. On the one hand, the way the wind's blowing, but the technology has advanced. We were talking early days. You couldn't do this or that. Now, with a smartphone, you can do almost anything.
Just about. Just about. Which does bring me to the, for example, I want to explain a little bit more about my affinity and feeling and empathy for, because as we're taping today, we're into what is the longest government shutdown in history in this country. And this past weekend, 40 million people lost their ability to access food through the SNAP program. I happen to be the kind of journalist who calls it the way it is. And this sidestepping of reinstating those benefits to those people, I think, is just not only disrespectful
well, it's to not those following poor the letter people, of the law either.
But it's not following the letter of the law. The money is there. And believe it or not, now here's the sort of the education part. The contingency fund was established under a bill that was passed in the last Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to minimize the impact of government shutdowns. And so they passed a number of pieces of legislation, and one of them was setting up this contingency fund for SNAP so that it would never happen again.
Right.
Which is why I am truly is flabbergasted at the fact that they're asking the court, well, tell us how we do that, which is just, I think, an atrocity and not true because they set it up. They ought to know how these contingency fund
works. There's
just works.
Not a willingness there for whatever reason.
And therein lies, I think, the nexus between what it is that I'm trying to bring to Franklin from the national and state.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have seen, like I have, the lines around our food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over on 140. And if that doesn't break your heart, and if, as a matter of fact, while we're here and talking about this, please, if you can contribute to our Franklin Food Pantry,
right.
They're in need of donations, both of canned goods as well as just donations, regular donations
yep.
right now, because
yeah,
they are running out like.
The volume has increased significantly over the last couple of months, certainly contributed to by the shutdown, because now a lot of government employees are having to turn elsewhere because they haven't gotten paychecks. Never mind the fact that the regular folks, and I'll say regular, but those who have qualified and all of a sudden no longer have SNAP benefits to
right.
turn to. I've been spending a lot of my time advocating for the food pantry. I'm on a couple of their committees to help them.
Excellent.
My wife volunteers there as well. So we're doing in our way what we can. And yeah, it's certainly trying time, which gives me another reason that, you know, going back to what I said in terms of the customer service, citizens' rights in
mm-hmm.
some cases.
Yes.
But just humanity. That was a service we had. All of a sudden, it's changing.
Right.
We need to know why, and we need to be able to figure out what we can do, because at some point in time, we in Franklin, and we're not isolated, we're integrated,
right.
are going to have to figure out what we're going to do.
Not just figure out. We're going to have to do it.
Yes. Figuring out is the first step, but then executing is the second step.
We're going to have to do it. And I'm one of those people who I don't want to take a whole lot of time trying to figure it out, because some of it is rather obvious on its face. You know?
Right.
If the food pantry needs more donations and they need more food, then let's get them the donations and the food they need. Okay.
Correct.
And we in Franklin, there are many of us who are not food insecure, and we do have the means. Maybe we can't do a lot, but we can do a little bit of something.
Correct.
And those of you who are interested in helping, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities here in Franklin, which
mm-hmm.
I would also promote.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's keeping yourself aware of what's going on.
Correct.
And one of the aspects of towards a more perfect union is to help not only those who listen to our program, who watch our program, to understand the issues that we chew up on our program, but also to sort of figure out how can I not only understand this, but do something about it here at the local level.
Correct.
All right. We're not asking for people to jump up and immediately start writing letters to your congressperson or to the president or to run to Chicago to help them, because what is happening in Chicago may be coming to our place.
It certainly
seems.
What
we have to be is on the lookout to make sure that we're ready and prepared if it does.
Mm-hmm.
That's the planning part.
Correct. It seems to have already popped up, at least based on some of the media, Milford, other places. Absolutely. In and around greater Boston. So we're not immune to it. It will come. It's a matter of time.
Absolutely. And we were at the State Democratic Committee, convention at the beginning of September. And the day before we had our actual meeting, the young man was arrested in, I think it was Milford,
mm-hmm.
17 years old.
Yep.
Okay. In school. Fortunately, I think we were able to get him released and brought back to the community. But not in every community have we had that level of success.
Sure.
There have been some kids who have been deported.
Yep.
Without their parents.
Correct.
And it's harmful to us to just sit back, either read the story or listen to the story, and not be aware of, well, I need to be prepared and I need to be able to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that's what our program is trying to do, dovetailing again, Steve, with the fact that, yes, we have local issues, but we are not isolated. Let's not look at, for example, the building, and let's get back to this issue, for example, of the change in housing that's coming to Franklin. We're going to have more apartments coming to Franklin, and there's some talk that these are supposed to be affordable housing. I know I'm an old man, but this is a definition of affordable that I'm not familiar with.
Well, there's two definitions for affordable that I've been using. There's the capital A affordable, which is what Fed and state regulations determine. And then there's the little A affordable, which is what we are in our pockets and our income can truly afford.
Yeah.
And there's a significant disconnect between those two.
You mean there's a wide gap between
there's a wide gap
between what they're charging and, and what you can actually afford?
So on the one hand, while they may not be, quote, affordable to us and kind of, if you will, some of the relatively normal folk around, like normal air quotes, they're affordable to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And with the overall housing shortage, and at least from what I've seen nationally, we're short about 7 million units. In Mass, we're probably short upwards of 1 million units.
Yes.
We need housing. It has not been built. And we need to go back to that kind of missing middle.
Right.
Not just single family homes, so apartments, accessory dwelling units. Even considering kind of, you know, the small houses, you know, the tiny boxes, et cetera. But zoning prevents that. And that's where we need to get into a civil conversation around how do we make sense of increasing our own housing stock so that it doesn't necessarily negatively impact certainly the water, sewer, other infrastructure pieces we have, including the roads and traffic that we travel with.
Right.
There are ways to do that, but it takes a civil conversation in order to work through those steps. And that's where some people just kind of like gloss over and they're like, wait a sec. And yet back to a point where you mentioned this Children's Museum. The town council, in its wisdom, did recently make a bunch of changes to create that crossing neighborhood district.
Right, right.
The SNET Trail has now been purchased, so that extension from Grove Street to Union at some point in time will truly extend the SNET, giving us another draw to bring people either to the town to go out to the SNET or people from the SNET to come into the town. There's already La Cantina and Jimmy D's. There may be more. Acapulco, was out of there. There's a couple of pizza places. That neighborhood can continue to grow and develop. The Mill Store is going to be redeveloped to provide kind of the mixed use. So they're going to be putting in some apartments in addition to retail establishments, commercial establishments, et cetera.
Right.
So that's going to see some significant changes. Hopefully,
right.
Assuming the developers step up and have the vision and wherewithal to, obviously, the funding as well,
right.
in order to make things happen.
Oh,
but we've at least, from a code perspective, said this is possible if you play in this space.
Now, you know, now here is where I hope our folks are ready for this, because here's where you and I think are going to have a lot of fun going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just outlined into the weeds, and I like that myself.
Okay,
a local issue with the code, the builders, mm-hmm. and but here's where I come from. Let me tell you about a program while I was in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is in the city of Birmingham. There are three community colleges in Birmingham. One of them is Lawson State College. Community College. There's Birmingham Community College, and there's a third one, which the name escapes me right now. And there's the high school vocational program.
Yep.
Okay. And they have all come together to do this, Steve. From ninth grade, students have a choice to go to these vocational trade schools.
Yep.
And instead of just staying at the school and, you know, and you build, a chest for your home,
mm-hmm.
these kids are taken out into the community,
mm-hmm.
into homes that have either are on the margin or have been taken off the tax rolls,
right.
that in some instances were dilapidated,
yep.
okay? And these kids are charged with rehabbing these homes.
Yep.
So you go in and you learn not only your demolition skills, but your carpentry skills, your finishing skills, your plumbing, your electrician,
mm-hmm.
okay, your right. landscaping, I mean, the whole nine yards.
Correct.
And since the property was off the tax rolls,
now it's reinvigorated.
It's not only reinvigorated, but with a really different kind of catch to it.
Okay.
The home itself now is by the county and the state given to the school. And the school then will take one of the students, and his family will, or her family, will get the house.
Oh, okay.
They not only get the house, but they get the house without taxes in most instances for 10 years.
Ooh.
And you get the deed to the house.
Yep.
Okay? And the only thing that has gone into the house has been the sweat equity and the funds put in from the state and from the local,
right,
for the materials, the building materials.
Sure,
these kids are the ones who are doing it.
Correct.
And in many instances, this is the first home that that family has ever owned.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The family has ever owned.
Yep.
Okay? And this program has had such success. It won an award. It won a governor's award for workforce development. It has been recognized both from the state of Alabama, but also nationally. And Jeff Roy and myself are trying to do our best to tap into the $10 million that the governor has set aside for workforce development programs,
right,
in order to try to get
something like that
mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
And every time I drive down 140 right past the Franklin Golf Course, okay,
mm-hmm.
there's a house over on the left side that's been sitting there year after year after year after year. And I keep saying to myself, wouldn't it be great if we could get Tri-County and those students
mm-hmm.
to come over,
right,
and to rehab this home, and then to take one of those students,
mm-hmm.
all right, and be able to say, hey, here are the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do great things and stuff, right, as a family.
Right.
And welcome to the American dream.
Sure.
So, yes, we have a housing shortage.
Right.
But how we address it, to me, is just as important as the back and forth and tussle and
mm-hmm.
whatnot around, oh, well, do we need this and that
mm-hmm.
and that. And let me give you another example. We're going to hopefully do a show on Towards a More Perfect Union with the concept of, and I hope to, again, bring in some national and some state folks around, you know, the old mental hospital that used to be over in Rentham with that big...
Sure, Rentham Development Center.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And all of those old buildings that are just sitting there?
Sure.
Why can't we rehab those buildings and turn them into immigrant centers?
Right.
And, of course, it's all about money, of course.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
But what better way for us as taxpayers to say, you know what, let's put some tax dollars into that? Because, see, I have never seen money be a stumbling block when we have the citizens behind a movement.
Right.
Okay.
Well, money only becomes a stumbling block until you change the priorities.
Okay, help me with that one.
Well, because once you change the priorities, then money's no longer a stumbling block because you can figure it out.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
I just need to make it clear. So obviously the priorities need to get changed, and the question is, how do we do that? And you're saying, yes, the citizens need to do that, and clearly it's us.
Yes.
We are working towards the more perfect union, even in our little Franklin, even though we're not little, and we are integrated, we're not isolated. So.
And therein lies the next me, because ultimately, remember when we started, and I said that we are a democratic republic.
Correct.
We can't make the laws. We elect representatives who do that.
Correct.
We are not the ones who interpret the laws. We have judges who do that.
The court system, yep.
We are not the ones who administer the laws. We're not the first responders. Mm-hmm. We're not the governor, okay, or the various agencies. But we are the people who ought to be able to set the priorities and hold those other systems accountable.
We the people.
We the people. And that's where, again, I think we have a nexus, because it's not just listening to what's going on in other places.
Mm-hmm.
The question always comes back to, well, you heard it, so what are you going to do about it?
Right. Lots of opportunities. I'm looking forward to going down this road.
Not only are you, but so am I. And, you know, this, I think what we've done, Steve, is to set up a sort of interpretation program that you and I are going to be doing.
Yeah, okay. And for the listeners, assuming you're still with us, and if you're interested, and if you have some suggestion as to what we call this new series, whether it's an amalgamation of Toward a More Perfect Union and Franklin Matters, and maybe it's a new name, maybe it brings the two together, I'm open to that kind of conversation, because this is certainly, it's going to be an amalgam. It's going to be an evolution. Not a revolution, maybe, but an evolution.
I'm not against revolution.
I'm not either. When it comes to it,
peaceful. But I'm not. I'm not against
civil
revolution.
Civil discourse.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Steve, and I share your vision and your enthusiasm, and hopefully, again, we will take this amalgamation and keep moving it forward. And in the meantime, folks, if you happen to, again, want to hear some great discussion and dialogue towards a more perfect union, I really recommend that, again, at your leisure, look it up. I like Steve's little thing with on the YouTube, on the dials, on whatever it is you're using. But we can be found,
yes.
And hopefully on our front-facing piece for the station here, we'll make it hopefully a little more clear in terms of how you find us.
Right, and for the regular Franklin Matters subscribers, they should be aware that I do share out the videos as they're available, the audio as they're available, and there are links. There's also a WFPR podcast page, so that as the More Perfect Union, you did the video, it comes out through Franklin TV.
Yeah.
But then the podcast goes out into your podcast piece.
That's right.
It's on that page. And we'll also check behind the scenes to make sure it's also going out to YouTube, so if somebody through YouTube wants to do it that way, they can get it that way too. But
it's going to be great.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for coming along and enticing me to go this way.
You're very welcome. And thank you, too, for for finally getting us together and being able to sort of start this new journey.
We do this because Franklin matters.
Absolutely.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.